You're listening to one in a series of podcasts from the 2009 High Ed Web Conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
I did get a little opportunity to update these slides with kind of my, I'll call them new circumstances. I've done this online sort of press newsroom, whatever you want to call it, at multiple universities now. And I've kind of inherited a great one that was already kind of fully functioning, and I've just been able to add to it. So I'll be able to bring in some kind of new experiences of people that are just starting from scratch, people that are already a little bit into the process of doing some multimedia and doing newsrooms that are, you know, kind of a little bit more geared towards social media. Click. Okay, no clicky. Okay, so this is kind of where we, I guess not where we are today, this is where we were long ago. Kind of the idea of an old school press release. You know, you might have, you know, they kind of package, they have the headline, the subhead, the where you're at, the date, and they've got a very basic format, the who, what, where, when, why. That's just long ago. I was reading some stuff about this again this morning to refresh myself on this. There was Ivy Lee, who was like the father of press releases, and that was kind of the method they came up. It's the method that, you know, still a lot of people are expecting to see when they do a press release. So again, this is just kind of press releases on steroids, and that's what we're shooting for here. You've probably seen something like this before. I've still got screen captures up from my old job, but most universities have something like this. It's a pretty basic, you know, just list of news releases, has a title, has a date, maybe at most a picture. It's really kind of blah, kind of boring to read through when you're wanting to get through it. There's a lot of new tools out there that you can kind of add to it, you know, add a little bit of sizzle. It might be a little bit more engaging. With different kind of forms of media, it might get picked up in different ways. If you guys have any questions, I guess you have to stand up at the mic or I can repeat it, but just feel free to jump in. A lot of the stuff that they have is just, you know, I remember when I was working here, this was like a fixed size image. It could not change. It was just like hard coded into the CMS that we used. And so one way or another, you had to make your image that size, which is, you know, kind of constraining. And then really there was no ability to add anything multimedia, whether it's, you know, videos, anything like that. So that's kind of what I inherited. That's what my new job, that's where they kind of started from, was this. Again, this is where most people either at or they're a little bit further along in the process. So when I set out to do this project at my old job, I kind of decided what I was, you know, shooting for to do. I decided that I wanted to migrate all my old posts over so I could move it into a system that would be able to pull them in. Luckily, my old site already had an RSS feed, and if you have that, that kind of covers 90% of it, because you can just, with most blogging platforms, you can just do kind of a pull in and it'll, you know, add all the old posts to the site. I decided that I wanted to move to a blogging platform. I'm like a little, you know, WordPress evangelist. I love WordPress, so I talk about it all the time. But there's lots of others. There's movable type and other things like that, Drupal and whatnot. I really wanted to be able to add multimedia to the presentations. That was a big goal of mine. And I'll talk a little bit about that. But I think it's one of the things that has really made our news site catch on, especially at my new job. Just making it a little bit easier to digest. That format, especially online, with just big blocks of paragraphs. I mean, there's, you know, HTML for a reason. There's bullets, there's headers, there's subheaders, all those great sexy things that can draw attention, where the old school way was just these big blocks of text that really no one reads that stuff. A little bit easier to kind of hook up with social media sites. Lots of the sites now have like tweet meme, things like that. That wasn't around when I did this presentation last year, so I added it in real quick. I actually got Wi-Fi on the plane for the first time ever. It was so great because I actually got to work on my slides for the first time. Making it easy for the writers. The CMS system that I'd kind of inherited and what had been doing the news was just the most clunky. It was like a Oracle and Java-based CMS thing. Just absolute nightmare. It really had, you know, the usability of the tool was just impossible to use. So when I kind of stepped back and decided what I wanted to do, I looked at what was out there. You know, most news sites, especially the larger sites today, they kind of, you don't call them necessarily blogs, but they all work on the general premises of what a blog was. It was a post, and it was an opportunity to comment and, you know, share and then have RSS and keep kind of engaging with that story. You know, New York Times is a great example. There's so many out there now that it's, you know, there's just hundreds of great sites that kind of employ this philosophy. CNN, they're all really moving towards that. And then I spent a lot of time talking with the writers because I'm not a writer, so I don't know exactly what the needs of those people are. Some of them might seem totally weird and, like, obscure to me, but, you know, they're the people that really day in, day out are going to use this system. I pretty much just put it in play and then walk away, and they run it. So it needs to serve their needs a lot more than it needs to serve my needs. One of the things that's kind of helpful... Are we getting feedback, or is that just another... Okay, cool. They speak louder than me, apparently, and I didn't think that was possible. Anyway, so yeah, there's lots of different kind of layouts and themes, especially with WordPress right now. If you Google, like, WordPress news theme or WordPress news template, you will get just tons and tons of results. Just recently, I'm starting to kind of rework... my new job's one, it was a really, really heavy template, and it started to get kind of the bloat idea because people started to add, like, little links to Twitter, little links to Facebook, and it just became this massive, like, growing mass or something like that. So I've kind of tried to pull it back and make it a little bit easy. I think it was, like, 2 or 3 years ago, one of the universities that really got me into doing this idea was Concordia. I know there's multiple Concordias. One of the Concordia universities did a presentation on using a WordPress as like a CMS, using a WordPress as a news site. And they actually built their own theme that they released at the site. And the first social media news site that I use their theme, but now there's seriously hundreds and hundreds of them. So anyways, it leads us to social media press release. The idea of a social media press release, if you follow... you know, what most people talk about, it's something with somewhat of a rigid form. I'm going to kind of talk about a few different options you can do with it. So again, there's the traditional news releases, which some of you may or may not still be doing. It's again, the one that I showed in the second slide. It's, you know, title, date, subhead, and then a bunch of paragraphs. You know, there's this one that again, as a starter, it might be easiest to kind of try and do this. This still works pretty well with a lot of the traditional people. It's something that a lot of them are kind of starting to get used to and expect. This then is what I'll call kind of the really progressive one. This is what we'll sort of be presenting about. On some of my sites, we've done a couple of these, and they actually got really good engagement. But I would say most of the press releases that we're doing on our WordPress site are kind of in this format. Any questions so far? Yes? No? Okay. Okay, so this kind of came out. If you go to socialmediarelease.org, this is the formalized template that they came up with. There is a company called Shift Communications. Let me jump to the next slide because I want to be sure. No? Okay. How this all came about, this kind of movement or this discussion about social media press releases, was there was a guy, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, wrote this article in one of the Silicon Valley newspapers, and it was called Die Press Release, Die, Die, Die. And it was like a picture of like a tombstone that says Rest in Peace Press Release with a knife through it. And what it was trying to communicate was like the utter disgust of the fact that we're now doing press releases on the medium of the web, yet you're not leveraging or communicating the way that we're taught to write and communicate on the web. Again, there's no bullets. There's not an easy way to link things. There's not any real use of multimedia in those. And so it was kind of an attempt to do this. You'll notice in the upper left it says Shift. There's a company, Shift Communications, a guy named Todd Defrin, and he was kind of the first guy that pushed this idea. There's kind of a crew of people that run this socialmediarelease.org who've worked on this. So again, they just kind of, really it's nothing that crazy. It's just kind of turning what an old school release was and just repackaging it a little bit. You know, they gave the opportunity to add RSS. They have photos, which might just be stock photos, headshots in a nice, you know, large usable resolution, things like that. If you have multimedia like podcasts or video that are associated with this stuff, adding that stuff into it, you know, easy ways. You know, now this one just says add to delicious, but you'll see on lots of sites, you know, there's those buttons across the bottom, like 20 different logos for all kinds of different sites. Again, I don't know that you need to go crazy and add like 100 of those little links on the bottom. Maybe just choose the top 5 to 10, because it gets a little crazy when you just add every single site. All right, so really what we're trying to do here is just make the news a little bit sexier. Reading these boring packaged releases, and it kind of depends, you know, what the focus or who the audience is you're trying to have of your site. I was just the other day actually looking at UCLA's new site, and I noticed they actually had separate sites. That one was what they called the newsroom, and then one was kind of the on-campus news site. I know some universities separate them, some do them all together. So really you need to just kind of look at who your main audience is that you're shooting for this. All right, so one of the things that really enables a lot of this stuff is RSS. You know, it's the ability to share, syndicate, move it all over. You know, for the people that aren't as technical, you don't really need to actually think about what RSS is. It's really just plumbing. It's kind of a little function that does something, which is just, you know, syndicating and moving content around. So you don't need to worry about it that much. Again, this is one of these slides I really didn't get a chance to edit a lot. This was writers or problems, kind of where it was previously. These were the biggest problems that I had. You know, it was convincing the writers to change the way that they'd done it forever. And I'm sure all of you know, when you try and get someone to change, they're kind of apprehensive when it's just the way that they learned to do it, let's say in school or wherever it is they learned, they don't want to change it up. One of the things that I really tried to do was to try and get them to work on and build a relationship. Most people that are writing press releases are writing them to get picked up by someone, something. My hope, at least, is that they have some kind of a relationship with the person that they're sending these press releases to all the time. Otherwise, I would be really annoyed if I just... I run the site Blog High Ed, and I get people that send me what I'll call unsolicited PR pitches all the time, and it annoys the crap out of me because I'm really not interested in what you're doing. So hopefully you have a relationship with the person you're trying to send it to, and you can say, hey, we're considering doing this kind of new format. Does that work for you guys? Do you have any thoughts on it? And maybe you can build a relationship, because one of the things that we started doing was we tested out a couple of the kind of true form social media press releases. And this is since I've been in Miami. And again, that's a really, really big market with like the Herald and stuff. And we found that, you know, they actually started picking up a lot of our multimedia stuff. Where in the past, you know, most newspapers will just pick up, again, the old package press release. But we've done a couple with a lot of multimedia integrated. And they started picking it up and even packaging it and putting it on the news. What I was pushing my PR people to do was figure out exactly how they want it packaged. Meaning, like, if you're doing a video, what resolution do you want it at? Do you want, like, blank buffers on the front of the back? Do you want a logo on it? Whatever it is, again, you're making it to sell to this person, so make it what they want. Again, we went back and forth. I talked to the writers a lot, and we just kind of had to talk, you know, discuss it, get at what it is they want, why I'm trying to push it on them. Another thing that, you know, with these news sites, WordPress, it's great and all, but then there's this kind of consistency. I'm a code person, so I'm really into web standards, and I'm really, really anal about that. But when day in, day out, it's them running the site, you get all kinds of goofy stuff. You get people posting things from Word documents, even though I tell them, do the paste from Word thing. It'll strip out all the crap, but they never listen to me. And then I always go back and I look at posts that they've done in there, and I'm just like, oh my God, they did it again. And you mention it and they fix it for one or two posts, and then they go back to doing it the same way. At my last job, not at my current one, getting the multimedia stuff, you're trying to push this idea of doing multimedia, depending on, you know, where you're at, who your staff is, how engaged they are in it, it can be really, really hard to get the social media or the multimedia stuff in videos. One of the coolest things with my job right now is that almost any story, at least of decent magnitude, has some kind of a video that follows it up. And we've noticed through, you know, our analytics and stuff that all the video, the press releases or the news, you know, the news stories or whatnot, we kind of have both press releases, what I'll call general news stories. We have a media relations PR group and a more writer editorial services. They all write on the same site. So it's kind of funny because you can just look at it, and without even looking at the author, you can tell which group wrote them because they write them very differently. But it's great when the people from our writing group do them, because we've got like five or so HD cameras now, and even the writers, we just send them off with a camera and they go to town and they're loving it now. And those are the posts that are really getting picked up on a regular basis. You know, some of the stuff you should always, when you're doing this, have some kind of a measurement for, where you're trying to go with it. At different points in time, I've used these at different, jobs. Again, where are you trying to actually get placed? It was kind of funny. We were doing some articles when I just started, and the most random thing got kind of picked up and run with. We did a story about we have this valet parking thing on campus, because campus is at like an absolute premium. That, and it's Miami, and they're just weird like that. So anyways, we did this story on the valet parking thing that was going on campus, and it ended up getting picked up by the Jay Leno show. And so we were like, okay, cool. It's not really one of those, like, you should be proud that you're charging people to park on your campus, like random students and stuff who already pay to go to school there. But anyways, we got it picked up by the Jay Leno show, and we're like, okay, cool. Rather than be uptight about it, we're going to kind of play with this. So someone on our campus kind of knew someone at their show, and we sent him a sweatshirt, and we kind of followed up and wrote this spoof mockery post about it. And then it got mentioned again, I think, the next night on the show. So it was like two mentions of a university that no one knows of on the show, and it kind of made everyone's year. And it was just funny because it got placed because of one of these press releases. Again, there's lots of different tools that you can use to track all this stuff. You know, one is the did it get placed thing. Again, I'm not a PR person, so that the way that that works is kind of like new to me. At my last job, we didn't have what I'll call straight up PR people, and at my new job, we have an army of them, so it's a little different to me. But what we do is a general tracking thing. They were using Vocus, and I know they were paying like, I don't know, $10,000, I don't know, some astronomical amount, and then I was showing them, I always follow the Google alerts for a university, and I'm doing that for free, and I'm getting more things out of the Google alerts. So I kind of persuaded them, let's save $10,000 a year and not spend it on Vocus anymore, which I won that battle, so that's awesome. Again, a little bit about the future. This was the future when I did this site the first time. I've got a next one for my current university. But again, I think whenever I end up pushing these things out, is just, I usually like to put a tool in play and then sit back and see how people use it. And everything, you know, I'm not really a writer, a PR person, anything like that, but I'm a web person, and the way that I kind of, you know, work as like a project manager and being involved in web projects is kind of the idea of iterative development, meaning I develop a tool, I push it out there, then I see how people use it. And, you know, some of the writers, the more and more they start using it, you notice that they start to get, they kind of get dangerous with it. It's one of those, you know, they start feeling it and they get into it. And then, like the other day, I had one of the writers come to me and they were like, I saw this thing on the site and it was like these slideshows, but I don't know how they did it, but they're cool and I want to try it out. And I'm like, oh, you're talking about sound slides. And they're like, what? And I'm like, oh, just let me show you. And so I bought the sound slides for them. They went to town on them, and they've been producing all these sound slides along with all the videos. Again, they're really, really getting into these different formats depending on what the events are. Back on that, soundslides.com is this great tool where if you don't know how to produce a video or can't do it or whatnot, there's this great tool called Sound Slides. All it is you pick a bunch of pictures and you pick an MP3 and you splice the two together. Really, really cool tool. We've been using it for a little bit. One of the great sites that uses these really well is University of Missouri's. Anybody from there? Yes, no? The Mizzou Wire site has some great use of that, and be very cool to check out, definitely. Again, at my last job, the thing that we had was it was really hard getting people to do video and stuff. And at my new job, we've actually got we're kind of working on this idea of what we're calling like a sort of a guerrilla video group. They just go out, or we sometimes call it the social media army. And we're just trying to build up lots and lots of kids to go out and everything that we do somehow get coverage of it. You know, they'll go along with the PR people. They'll go along with the writer people and just cover the story and things like that. You know, another thing is you've got all this great content and depending on how you write it, it might just be on your news site, your newsroom site. But, you know, you have RSS. You have the ability to syndicate it. So why don't you use it on your own site elsewhere rather than having to write different profiles or different stories all over the site, leverage what you've already got throughout the site. You know, again, one of the things that people always talk about with social media is measurement. How do you actually do that? Some people, you know, say ROI is return on influence, a little bit different than, you know, in the past, most things were just gauged by page views and things like that. So now what most people are doing, what we're doing at least, is, again, not just looking at strict page views on what things are, but we've got open comments, so we see the stories that actually really get engaged, people really start talking about. Again, we're starting to do lots of video on a lot of our stories, seeing how many views the videos get. Mentioning the types of stories that are interesting. For one, like I said, the things that are getting picked up now and people are really, really into is the things with video. One of the others that we did recently that doesn't have video, but it really, really got picked up was this one that really engaged people. We've got these, and this is just a little dumb thing, but it got picked up really, really well. We have, you know, parking decals, and the past year they were going to redesign them, you know, to look different than the year before's, and they had these two and they couldn't decide which, and they're like, okay, well, rather than having us just argue about it, why don't we ask everyone? And we put the two parking decals out on the site and pretty much just had everyone vote on it, and it still today was one of the most viewed articles on our site, and it was just people voting yes, like option A, option B, and again, it's one of those, you know, one of those things, that's what social media is. It's being able to engage people and get them involved and kind of feel ownership of what they do. You know, one way or another, they're like, I chose that decal or I hate that decal and it's not the one I voted for. You know, one of the things that when you start to do this and you add all this stuff, what used to be just a basic, you know, paragraph-based thing, you start to add, you know, the little links across the bottom, the share this and the add this links, and you start to add video and you start to add photos and you add a million other things, and then the writer sees some random thing on another site and they're like, I want to add that too. You start to get this ridiculous amount of bloat to, you know, your themes, to your stories in general, where there's just all kinds of stuff added to it. And again, I kind of inherited the site at my current job, and it, again, they're just running with it. They're going to town on it, but it's just getting really, really bloated. And so the thing I'm trying to do right now is I'm working on a new theme that is just really, really, really minimalist, because I know the bloat will come. That's the inevitable. Once you have something on the web, it always grows. But again, I'm trying to strip down and get it smaller again. I've already mentioned the video being the way that things get viewed, the things that get picked up and stuff. You know, with things like Tweet Meme and the Share This and all those different things, that stuff is just getting our you know, our readership up like crazy. I've been following, especially on Twitter, every time FIU is mentioned on Twitter, I follow it. And it's amazing how much our stories get picked up. And then I usually every once in a while I'll kind of look at a certain story and see who it is that's adding that one. You know, a lot of it is the local, you know, media or social people. But a lot of it's students talking about stories that I personally would feel students would have no interest in, but they're the ones really getting engaged in, you know, what there is on the university. Again, share this and tweet meme are some of the things that a lot of people add to their sites to kind of get a little bit more, you know, picked up. And it really is a good indicator of kind of getting real time what's getting picked up by people. You know, some of the other what I'll call indicators can kind of be lagging things that you don't notice for a little bit out. But when you post an article and you've got tweet meme on it and you see within an hour, you know, it's gotten picked up like 9 times, you can kind of see that it on its own has legs and people are really picking it up. So that's the bulk of what I had. I really only ended up being able to add that last slide on the plane. So again, I'm a little rusty. I haven't done this one in a year. But anyways, does anybody have any questions so far? I can repeat or you can step up the mic, whatever's cool.
Loving the podcast idea. So my question kind of goes back to like your comments, you know, because I really believe in that building of a two-way communication really between our community and our campus. But, you know, when I go to my boss, nah, we're not doing that. You know, we're not comfortable with that idea of people just being able to comment on a page. So, you know, what's that discussion like and how did you win it and, you know, open that door?
Yeah. I think part of the thing that I did was, one, I showed how every single large website on earth has comments now on it, you know, New York Times, CNN, all those. And you know, even the sites like YouTube that have like trolls, I'll call them the people that post really irrelevant or negative stuff. Again, there's somewhat the idea of social policing. When someone makes some dumb, ignorant comment, usually there's 10 people to correct them or tell them that, no, you're an idiot, that's not true at all. We do, at least initially, we have it come into moderation before our comments go live. But really, even the negative stuff, it's not like lots and lots of swearing, and as long as it doesn't personally attack a single person, we usually let it go all the time. Most of the moderation, there's kind of a group of us, it's some of the technical people and the writers get the, when the comments come in, they get the email that WordPress says, hey, there's a new comment, you know, approve or deny it. I get that email, but usually I just let the writers handle it. And, you know, there's some people up with some pretty fired up conversations, and then they'll say, oh, you didn't let that go through, that's crap. And so they'll let the one that didn't at least swear go through. But usually what they'll do is they'll write the person and they'll say, you know, your comment you made was actually a great comment. It really got at the heart of something that, you know, people have, you know, been fiery about. If you could just edit it and not swear, that'd be great. Or sometimes we'll omit the words and write like in brackets, omitted for, you know, whatever. But really we let anything as long as, like we had this one that came up recently that was a really, all right. We had this one come up recently, where without really telling anyone, the Board of Trustees decided to rename our campus, like the entire main campus, to the name of like our outgoing president. And this just like came out of the blue. No one really knew in advance that this was coming. And, it was mainly the students were just absolutely outraged that they were going to rename the campus to, you know, this other guy's thing. And so there were people making these long, long arguments about, you know, why would they do this? Why would this cost so much money to change all the collateral that's involved with this? You know, that guy really wasn't that great. And the thing was, it was perfectly fine as long as there were some comments that personally attacked the guy who the campus is going to be named after. They were saying, you know, President such and such is an asshole and he blah, blah, blah. And he did this to me once and he doesn't care about anyone. Why would we name the campus after him? And again, as long as the expletives and the you know, really, really personal attacks weren't in it, we let everything go. And our VPs and everybody supports us on that. So it really wasn't a huge fight, but I always just kind of go with the, why don't we just put it in play for a little bit and see what happens? And usually nothing happens. So it's, and if, you know, you get some goofy comment, again, you're not going to send it through, and I'm probably not going to tell the VP that, oh, this person just wrote this, but I didn't approve it. So, yeah. Let's see. Well, it's just that, you know, like on WordPress, it's like the name, email, whatever. I think, well, you could put test at test.com. So really, and again, if it doesn't have anything bad, we'll let it go through. So, yeah. Yep. Just to repeat the question, it was, you know, once you've got your comments enabled, if there's people that, you know, add comments that, again, aren't necessarily have expletives, aren't personal attacks, but they have kind of things that have absolutely nothing to do with what the comment, what the story was about, you know, it's pitching a new company and stuff like that. Again, I don't really do a lot of the moderation, but the person that does most of it is one of our writers. She sits near me in the office, and she's like a, she will engage. I think that she would probably end up engaging that person more in a conversation. She would probably email that person and talk to them. That's a lot of the time what we do. If it's something that we're like, I don't know that we should really post this, we'll actually follow up with them though and email them and kind of, you know, start a dialogue about, hey, you know, this probably isn't the best here, but we do have an alumni magazine and we're profiling people that are starting new companies or something like that, I think would be the method that she would probably take with it. Yeah, again, I mean, you know, there's been some of those, the really fiery articles where people have written comments, but maybe what they wrote really is not on the ball with what the situation is. There's been a couple times where our writers have gotten in really fiery comment conversations on like our university website. But they're like, no, you are absolutely wrong on this. Why would you? Why are you just making these random comments, you know, off the wall comments? But yeah, I mean, they really do seem pretty progressive in engaging people and actually going along with it. Again, I think day to day, most of these sites like this are somewhat under the radar of the suits, so to speak. The VPs are uptight people, so you can just have the day to day people handle it. And I think they know, as long as you're somewhat savvy about social media, you kind of know, or just have common sense, you know how to deal with the situation, and you deal with it on a case-by-case basis. And that's kind of what we do. There's some that, like, sometimes I get pulled in by her, and we'll pull a couple of people in the room, and they're like, look what this person wrote. And we kind of just have a little, it's one of these, who's going to be the progressive, who's going to be the conservative one here in this conversation? And then we kind of make a consensus decision whether or not to let it go through, but more times than not we let things go through. And again, it's, you have to find what you're comfortable with at your school, and what, you know, if someone else saw it, you know, they would freak out, maybe you shouldn't let it go through. But again, I think being as open as possible is always the best policy. Yeah, go ahead. Actually, what we ended up doing was we opened the system up to everyone on campus. The college level people, the departmental level people can write things. We usually kind of hold them for moderation before they go live, because there's varying different levels of talent as far as writing on campus. And we don't want someone, you know, from an apartment that's, you know, really, you know, they're the web person, but also they're the writer, and they're not really a writer. So we try and hold it as much as we can. But again, we really open it up to a lot of people to get engaged and be involved in the site. Another thing that I didn't even mention is once a week we have a newsletter that kind of email newsletter that goes out with this that takes more of the highlight things. And all it does is it, you know, takes the headline, takes a picture and a little, you know, the first paragraph, but it always aggregates them back to the site. Anywhere else that we really aggregate stories from this, we're trying to drive the traffic back to the site so it gets them in the fold, so to speak. No, it's WordPress. So like, you know, it handles the archiving. It handles just when something, we have like a headliner section, which is the big article right now or whatever. And when you drop, you know, the next headliner comes in, it just bubbles up to that position. So it really ends up handling everything really easily for you. We got 1 minute left, so we'll just take this one and then maybe another one if we're able. How long do we keep the archives for? Every time that I've started one of these sites, if I'm pulling it from like a completely not blogging system, if it's static or something like that, what I've done is actually I'll just take and I'll keep the HTML-based site just sitting around. And then if there's any way to pull all of them into the new site, I always do. But sometimes it's just more headache than it's worth. So I'll kind of make, like when you go into the archives section, I'll make some kind of a comment. We don't have archives, or I'll link them to the static when they go into the archives link. Say, go back for, you know, March 2005 back, or whatever the case may be. Any other quick ones? Yeah. Yeah. Again, well, WordPress, if you happen to use that, are a lot of the blogging platforms. Most of them are fairly savvy SEO-wise. Like on our WordPress, we've got the, there's a plugin called the All-in-One SEO Pack. And so it really does optimize the site to get aggregated very well in the you know, the search engines, stuff like that. The site that I inherited initially really had bad SEO, and they were always complaining that the stories didn't, you know, show up. So what I did was kind of ripped apart the template and realized that there were just lots of little SEO things that they didn't have, added it back. And again, if it's based on a CMS or some kind of a program, it's just you have to add in that little thing one time, and then it just propagates throughout the site most of the time. But yeah, I think we're done. So yeah, does anybody have one more, or you can talk to me after, whatever. Melissa? Right. Well, I work all the time, so no. I always have my iPhone with me, and I can usually approve or deny them. You know, it in those we you know, it tells a little bit about what the post is. So if it's really important, we'll approve or deny it. But yeah, we don't always like make ourselves run to the computer and approve or deny. You know, there might be a little bit of a lag on the weekends, but. I mean, seriously, I usually work till 6, and then I go home and hang out for 2 hours, and then I work until midnight. So I'm kind of on the computer all the time. So, you know, anyways.